Well, let's turn to Hebrews. We're going to, Lord willing, finish up the 10th chapter this evening. I don't believe we'll get to the 11th, but there's just so much. It's funny, I was talking to one of the sisters, well, actually Sister Leona there before we started, and she says, oh, good, I'm not going to miss any of the 11th. But I said, well, but you got the 35th and the 36th. And then I said, and you can't leave out the 37th or the 38th or the 39th. So it was pretty funny. We were laughing back in there, so... And I just want to tell the Lord, thank you so much. I've just had such a heaviness, and I believe He's just delivered me from it. So, praise God. He is so wonderful. But we're going to start from the 26th verse this evening in the 10th chapter. And we'll read through the 39th, and then we'll go back and start from the 33rd. We'll just touch on the things that we read last week. It says, therefore, if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. And again, this is Paul referring to all of the Jews that are unbelievers at this time. If we've sinned willfully after that we have received. We spoke about last week about the word enlightened. Enlightened means that it's shined upon. It's been revealed, but it hasn't been believed. It hasn't been taken as your own. And this is what this is getting at again here. If we sin willfully after that enlightenment time, the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful. And again, Christians aren't fearful in the sense of this looking for of judgment, because there's nothing fearful of judgment. Once you've accepted Christ as your Savior, there's nothing ever to fear about judgment. The only judgment that you're receiving at this time is for the reward that you'll receive someday in heaven. And that gives me peace. And that gives me something to strive to attain, which is, as we say, magnifying the grace of God and allowing the Lord to work that in our life. But it's looking of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Again, the adversaries. When you're a child of God, you're not an adversary of God's. You're His child. You could never be separated from His love. You have been accepted. The acceptance is there within the Word of God and to God Himself through His Son. He that's despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Back then when they rejected the type of how much sore punishment, suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God. And again, His children don't trod Him under foot. We are His children. And hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith He was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. And again, as we read there in Corinthians, how it even the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, is the one that comes to you to receive Christ as your Savior. And they rejected all of it. And again, it is by grace. For we know Him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge His people. Now, many times again in there, see, they say, well, the Lord's going to judge His people. Referring to us. That's not us. That's the Lord is going to judge His earthly people, His Jews. That is exactly what that is meaning there, and that is the context. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. When we fall into the hands of God, we're in the safest place we could ever be, aren't we? And I'll tell you, every time we fail, I would pray that by the grace of God, we would look to fall into those hands. As David said, he would rather fall into that hand of mercy. He's the God of comfort. And all He is looking for that, just that look, just that step back, is that prodigal son. Back towards the kingdom. That's all He wants. I'll tell you, this Sunday, I don't want to even get into that, but you're going to, Lord willing, you can imagine what's going to happen there about that look back to the kingdom. Hallelujah. But call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. And something happened that was different here as we talked about those words. Enlightened was to shine light upon. But illuminated was the light within was coming out. And that's what happens when you get Christ in your life. And as you live unto Christ and you live the grace of God in your life, you can't help but magnify the grace of God. It shines. It comes out of your life. We talked about testimony in a sermon 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's the actions that come out of our life that speak the most. It truly is. I can't talk to everybody, but I can't tell you how many times by the grace of God, not magnifying myself, They said, Jesse, what's different about you? And you know what I'm talking about. People that have observed you for years that maybe you've just said hello to or just a few things. What is different? What's different about your kids? What's different about your wife? What's different about that whole situation in your house? How could you be going through that type of a situation and yet you're not complaining, you're not moaning, you're not just totally in despair about this type of thing? That's Christ. That's the illumination that happens. And again, once that illumination happened, notice what happened there. You endured a great fight of afflictions. And I wanted to point out again, it does say in the Word of God, and it is so true, if you suffer with me, you reign with me. There's heirs, and then there's joint heirs, if so be that you'll suffer together with me. But remember that the sufferings aren't even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Do you realize that? And that comes right after that. If you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. And I appreciated the brother that encouraged me with that again today. Is sometimes we can get caught up so much in the myrrh, so much in the suffering, that by the grace of God, again, look to our inheritance. Look to the Lord. Sometimes, again, we start to look at ourselves. We look at our suffering. We look at the situation we're in. Pray about it. As the Lord leads you to pray about it, that's wonderful. But pray about it and leave it there. Leave it there. Learn to accept the will of God in your life. It's a wonderful thing. The Lord's teaching me that. I've been wiggling and squirming a little bit lately, and I think that's one of the reasons why the Lord kind of had to get me heavy. He said, now, son, I want you to trust me with this. I want you to trust me with it. Sometimes, again, I feel so inadequate. I said, Lord, I'm just so unworthy. That's great that I'm recognizing the tents of Kedar, but I got to see the curtain of Solomon, too, in my life. That's what he wants me to hold on to. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, to have that vision of where he holds me to. So, 33rd verse, and this is where we'll pick it up. Partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds. And again, how could you not think that Paul wrote this even with that right there? He was the one that always talked about how you had compassion for me. And I know that they'll sometimes confuse and try to figure out who wrote what. Well, first of all and foremost, the Lord wrote it. Okay, this is God's word. Okay, it's precious to know who wrote it, but you know what? God wrote it. Amen. And that is the word of God, and we accept it joyfully. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Don't we know that? Hallelujah. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Can't you tarry just a little while longer here? Which hath great recompense and reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition or to damnation, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And again, let that just conclude what this whole thing is talking about. From the very that 26th verse, if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice of sins. Go right to the 39th verse. It answers the whole thing. But we are not of them who draw back unto damnation. Once you're a child of God, you could never draw back to damnation. You are saved. Who he has given me will never be lost. They're in my hand. They're in my Father's hand. Don't frustrate the grace of God. That's what people try to do. They'll try to pull things out. By the grace of God, that's what we're here to do tonight, is to stand in defense of the gospel. Getting into the 33rd verse. Partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. I have to tell you, I was thinking of Brother Chris today. I was thinking how some of those guys down at the police department, he was talking about his sergeant when he told him, Sarge, I got to take off. My son just broke his leg. And that guy just shook his head at him and said, I'm sure. How many more things are you going to go through? I spoke to Sister Pam, and the first thing, there was this nurse that's an atheist that she works with. He's a man from Africa. And I was talking to her late last night. And she said, you know, the very first thing he said to me when I got back was, well, what about your God now? He just took your husband. You don't even realize what you're walking on, buddy. You don't tempt God. And it was so sweet, the response that she gave to him. Well, I trust him more than I ever have. And he's coming in a way in my life that he never has. And I would pray that we would be like that every day. But you become a gazing stock. People notice you. People see you. Many are the troubles of the righteous. You get Christ, you live Christ, and He'll separate you. We've talked about it many times. You don't have to go trying to separate yourself. I always appreciated my mom. She said, honey, you just fall in love with the Lord. He'll take out of your life what needs to go. And I believe that. I do. And when He takes it out, then it's forever. You've been delivered. I really believe it's gone. Again, you've heard me talk about alcoholics before. People with those types of problems. They label them the rest of their lives that that's what they have. I believe when Jesus Christ delivers you, I don't think you're labeled anything but a child of God. I got a new creation in me. See, that's what I want to yield to. I don't want to live in fear. I don't want to live in things that are hanging over my head. I want to be released so that I can live the liberty and the grace that He has called me into. Thank you, Jesus. But the world knew who they were. And the enemy knows who you are. And he's going to try to wound you. But remember, he's on that chain. In this time, many were beaten, many were killed. The goods and the lands that they had were taken. And so precious is every Christian suffering. And by the grace of God, we need to see our sisters and our brothers in suffering, and we need to suffer jointly with them. Did you know that we're to care for them? Did you know that we're supposed to pray for one another? I know you know that, but we have to look at the needs of our brother and sister and have compassion and true empathy for them. I would hope that when we see our brother and sister in a situation, that we don't just forget it, that we don't just say, oh, that's one thing, and you go on. That's your family. I appreciate the ones that say, and I know you're not just trying to be righteous and good. Pray for those in New Orleans. I'm praying and praying. And I think in Texas they're having a great prayer meeting down there many times during the day and night. It's wonderful to see. But our government says, now don't you go tell them that the Baptists are doing all that for them. You see where that's all going. If you read in the paper again, they said that those Baptists were serving 500,000 meals a day. 500,000. Here in town, there were 20,000 people that were going down there that or they were bringing up or going down or something, again, that the Baptists were taking care of. And I appreciate that. And I pray at this time that that word would be just magnificent in that place. And by the grace of God, that can happen. But we are of one body, and we glory and we sorrow together because we're family. The 34th verse. For we had compassion. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Listen to these words. Listen. Don't get caught up again in your myrrh. Don't miss Christ when He's at your door. When He's there wooing you. She wasn't ready, that Shulamite. She was consumed with that myrrh, her suffering. And He left. Now that's a privilege to suffer for the things of God. But we're also to move on and look up for our salvation. Our redemption draws nigh. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm longing for. My expectation is from Him. I appreciate, Lord, that You're causing that wonderful faith to be drawn out of my life with the suffering. But let me look to You and to say, God, You've put me here. I trust You for it. And I know it's not worthy to be compared to the glory. And it is going to be glory that's going to be revealed in you. Hallelujah. I know by patience we'll inherit. But Paul notes that they particularly suffered with him. To tell those that tarry with you, thank you, as Paul is telling these as well too. And again, they gave up their goods, their lives, and they stood for the things of God. I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 and 7. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 and 7. It says, wherein ye greatly rejoice thou, though now for a season, if need be. Ye are in heaviness through many, many fold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And again, we've studied upon that and had a sermon on it. But I love that praise, honor, and glory. That's yours. That's yours. That's precious stone that we're after. Hallelujah. These are the things that Christ is building in our life. This is knowing. This is believing, as Peter in Acts chapter 5, verse 41, where he finally realized and rejoiced in being counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. He was in there laughing with his brother and glorying to the Lord and saying, "Thank you, God, that you caused me to suffer for your name's sake." When you're out there in work, do you realize it? I knew it even when I was in high school. As I told you, there were many times I brought it on myself. I still do. I still got flesh. I'm a little ornery here and there sometimes. But you know what? I knew many times that they hated me without a cause. I had coaches that hated me without a cause. I had people that taught me in college, professors, that I knew walking in that door, and it wasn't to be paranoid, that they hated me without a cause. I knew it wasn't them. It was the enemy. He was trying to divide things up right there. He was trying to get me to fear things right there. He's going to try to get you to back out of things all the time that God has for you. There's going to be giants in the land all the time. There are. Bring them on. Bring them on. Hallelujah. You say, "You don't know what you're saying, boy." And you know what? I don't. I just been learning and I trust God. You know? I sit there in awe as I just study the Word of God, and I sit in awe as I think the people, really the priests and kings and the ones that the Lord has me speaking to. "Lord, I'm not worthy for this." You're right, son, you're not worthy. But you know what? I'll prepare you if you let me. I'll give it to you if you let me. Now see, that's mighty. That's beyond. It's not a miracle to him, but it's a miracle to me. Because I know me. And I know what he wants to do. And you know what? When he wants to do it and you're willing to be the vessel, it's amazing what can happen. Sometimes it gets scary what happened, but we'll leave that alone. But I could go on and on, hallelujah. But again, it's payday someday, and it's going to be soon. Let's go to that 35th verse. The 35th verse. It says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence." And that's so sad. You see so many Christians anymore casting away their confidence. Casting away the boldness of what God has given us, which hath great recompense of reward. This again is cast not away the boldness of testimony, of speaking, and the testimony of what? It's the testimony of faith. See, this again, this whole wonderful book of Hebrews is such a book of faith. Faith upon faith upon faith. By the grace of God, again, we're going to read in the 11th chapter of all of the wonder that faith produces in our life. And it is. The promise, the inheritance, everything is going to be by faith. Faith is the victory. The all-pleasing response to God is faith. It's belief. And you know what? It only comes by the Word of God, as we've talked about many times. It's the only thing that's going to please Him. It's the only way that we're going to get it is by hearing and hearing the Word of God. And it's our reward to everything. It's all by faith. And it's such great reward that it's ours. I love how, by the grace of God, in that 11th chapter in verse 2, everything that we'll ever obtain is by faith. Is by faith. Is by faith. It's not of works. God is not looking for the Ten Commandment keeper. I hope we get that. You know why? Because he'd be real lonely. He would be. It just doesn't work that way. He's looking for the state of the heart. He's looking for those that are after his own heart, isn't he? He's looking for the Davids. And again, how impressed I was, again, that the Lord brought that out to me. That it said about David, he did all. He did it all. That was right before my eyes. Think about that. I hope you're thinking about that. This was a fornicator. This was a murderer. He did always that was right before my eyes. That's how God sees you. Do you understand that? If you'll put Him first in your life. If you'll go after Him. If you will fully come after the Lord. See, that was the problem with Solomon. He didn't fully come after the Lord. He had other gods. He was a better man if you put him up and you were judging worldly people. If you put them up together, you'd say, oh, well, Saul was a better man than David. He didn't do this, this, and this. And look at old Solomon. He didn't do this, this, and this. Jeroboam wasn't a really bad guy. He didn't do this, this, and this. But to God, they were wicked. Did you know that? He said, you're wicked before me. I'm angry with you because you didn't keep me first. Your first love. After he gave them so much. And I see what he's given to them is that kingdom. And that's what he's offering to us, is the seat right next to him in the throne. He gave them the throne. And they didn't hold it dear. And all they had to do was to say, you gave it to me, Lord. You're my God. You're my love. That's what he's looking for. You're going to fail. And through failure, it's an amazing thing. If you yield to him in your failure, you'll see grace in a more abundant way than you ever saw it before. People look at me and say, oh, you're just encouraging me to sin. No, I'm not. But I'm encouraging you to grow. I'm encouraging you to go on. And that's what God wants out of us. He wants us to go on. Hallelujah. But this is pleasing to him. By faith we possess, we walk all through the promise, and we profess in boldness that he is our Lord. Verse 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Hallelujah. This is two parts in this wonderful verse. And there's that patience in the first part. And again, we know that the race to his best is to the patience. And that is, again, Hebrews 12:1. If you'll turn there with me. Hebrews 12:1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And what is that sin again? That is our lack of faith. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I got to share a little story with you. It was so funny. I always remembered when the Lord so spoke to me, and by his grace, he allowed me to see the bride. I was about 17 years old. And I'm sure you had this experience as well, too. And it was just immediate to me. Well, I'm in the bride. I've got it. I'm there. I see it. And it's just so overwhelming to you, isn't it? And it's so wonderful. And the Lord just makes that land so fruitful and so wonderful of milk and honey flowing out for you and so fresh. And then, you know, a week later, maybe a day later, you know, where did the milk and the honey go? You know, you're sitting there and you're wondering, where did it go? And I just so appreciate him because he brings me in that milk and honey. And he also makes me realize that, son, it's always there. You may not see it, but you're in my promise. And then he's showed me, and then probably in my mid-20s, finally clicked, you know what? It's about patience. And Lord, however long you take, just keep me sitting still and knowing you're God. And I know you'll take me all the way. Moses was there 40 years, wasn't he? He was awful quiet. God had a purpose for him. He said, you're going to deliver my people. And then he throws him on the backside of that desert for 40 years. Was he in God's promise all that time? He sure was. Sure he was. Do you think he wondered sometimes? Sure he did. But you know what? He sojourned in that land. I got to stop. I'm getting into the Sunday sermon. But it's just so awesome how, again, it just is so perfect, that pattern. And he'll cause us to be patient. He'll cause us to wait on the hand of the Lord. And it's so wonderful. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. And I'll just give you these verses and you can write them down. That's the patient waiting for Christ. Actually, you know what? Let's not write them down. We're going to turn there. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. It says, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. There's a patient waiting for him. But it's in everything, isn't it? Hallelujah. It's in affliction. There is a patient waiting. It's in trial. There is a patient waiting. And I'll tell you, the thing he's starting to really give me patience about is in his return. Lord, even so, come quickly. Hallelujah. But you know what? There's a patient waiting for him. There's an endurance here. It's a marathon of marathons that He's got us on here, and it really is. And you know what I'm talking about. Because again, we're battling this flesh. And this flesh wants instant gratification. It's not a patient creature. Even if you think you have the patience of Job, you don't. God develops the patience of Job. God puts you in those places like He did Job, and then He develops patience. Hallelujah. Hebrews 6:12 says, let's turn back over there. Hebrews 6:12. That ye be not slothful. Don't be lazy in things, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Faith and patience inherit the promises. Leave it there. True faith is patient, it waits, and it accepts what God wants us to have. There's a precious waiting on that. You think about the fruit that was produced in every one of the brothers and sisters' lives that went through this Word of God. There was a patient waiting. Look at Paul after he was revealed the things. He went for years and the Lord put him in one place and another, and then finally He had him go witness. There's a patient waiting for the fruit to really be prepared in our life, because there's a preparing going on. And by the grace of God, the ultimate patience we're going to talk about in preparing here in just a moment. Let's turn over to James chapter 1, verse 3. James chapter 1, verse 3, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Now, wait a second. We know that patience is the fuel to run. And how are we going to get it? It's got to try our faith. He's got to keep us in that, by the grace of God, He keeps us in that land of promise. But in that land of promise, it's going to be on the backside of the desert sometimes, isn't it? I'm just going to tell you, He's going to take you places. Don't try to put God in a box. He's going to get it done. As I was talking to a wonderful brother today, God rarely does things the same way twice. If He always healed you the same way, if He always did it the same way, where would faith be? We'd just expect it that way, wouldn't we now? See, He used mud to put in the eyes of one sometimes. Told him to go wash in the Jordan other times. Other times He just spoke it. Other times He let him die. That's your God. And He always does that which is right. And He's always on time. And He's always going to deliver you. But He's got to put you in things to deliver you from to deliver you, doesn't He? That's so awesome. So wonderful. Just like I said, to be an overcomer, He's got to give you things to overcome in your life. Pretty simple, isn't it? There is simplicity in the Word of God. We try to twist it around, make it that we got to work to get somewhere. We got to do this to see this. And again, I appreciate, I heard my wife on a conversation the other day again with somebody that was, oh, that's so wonderful that your husband got into the ministry and everything. It's, well, where did he go to learn it? Well, she's got that joke going that Brother Hill had. He went to Brush College out in the sticks. And the guy didn't get it, so he was trying to figure out, and she had to go explain it for about 5 minutes, so she better stop that. But it was just something, because again, you know what? God will prepare you. See, people think that it's done this way, or there's a certain way. Well, what classes did you go to? Or you know what? In order for you to really be, and I'm going to tell you, this is where Christians go. This is where it's all going. I've heard more and more of this talking about this. You got to get accountability. We've got to have groups. You sin, I want to see it written up over here so you're accountable to that. So you don't do that anymore. I don't need you watching me. And I don't need to be watching you. You know, all I want to do is I want to pray for you. Because I know who's got you in His hand. I know who's going to perform it. I know who's going to perfect it. I know who's the author and finisher of your faith. So what could you do except to horse it up? And it's true. I told you about when I was a kid. Again, I remembered it so clearly. Like it's the other day. I always remember I had that wonderful art teacher, Miss Bradford. And she could come and she could take that little lump of clay and she could make that thing stand into a pot and just a little zip. And it was wonderful. I was thinking, what an artist and how wonderful that would be to be able to do that. But she had the kids come up there and touch it. And I'd come up there and I'd touch that thing and just try to do something with it. Pretty soon that clay was everywhere. It was just gone. You're His masterpiece. You're not your own. And isn't that wonderful? It just gives me such peace to know that I'm in His hand. To know that I'm His work. To know that I, by the grace of God, it's His. It's His. And when I just rest in Him, He'll take me all the way. I see that promise. Hallelujah. And it's almost here that He will complete me. Praise God. So James 1:3 says, the trying of your faith works patience. Go to the fourth verse. It says, but let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Patience upon patience upon patience. Hallelujah. Her perfect work. It is all about patience. And the best takes time. And finally, in Revelation 3:10, and I'm sure many of you already know this, Revelation 3:10, this is such the epitome of the patience. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Hallelujah. I will keep thee from the tribulation, from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. See, that's the patience I want to live unto. I really believe that Christ is coming soon. I think He's about ready. I think by the grace of God, I can see things going on. And you know what? It's not in the things that you even see in the world, the different events that are going on. It's in you. I see the people here. I see the urgency. I see the effectual working of God. I see the unity of the Spirit coming in this place like it's never been. It's because of the love of God. He's stirring us up. I believe there's a time that He's preparing us. And by the grace of God, it's so wonderful just to live like that. And again, it comes by the trying of our faith, is that patience. Now, verse 36 goes into the second part of this verse. And that is, after that ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Hallelujah. So incredible. I remember Brother Hill saying so many times, there's a payday someday. That song that we sing, it will be worth it all. You know, it seems like by the grace of God, it only gets better. Doesn't it? When you're in Jesus' way, it just keeps getting better. I look at the times back in my life where it just seemed a little bit harder. Now, He presses a little bit more in my life all the time. But by the grace of God, it just gets sweeter. That incense gets sweeter to Him all the time in my life. See, because we know that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts or the thoughts or the anything of man, what God has prepared for them that love Him. And I believe we've got a lot of people in here that love Jesus. I really do. Can you imagine gathering for a Bible study on a Wednesday night? I think back when I was about 16 years old. Would I ever thought that I'd gather together on a Wednesday night to hear a Bible study? That's the faithfulness of God. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you, Jesus. He is so faithful. And that's God's will, that we would love Him. And I want to take just a little bit of time here for this will, explore a few specifics of His will. I mean, basically, you understand the will of God is this. We're going to discuss the will of God. I don't want to get you panicked, and we're not going to start in Genesis 1:1 and start reading. But this is the will of God. Okay? This is the will of His God is the will of God is in His Son. The Word is His Son, the truth. Hallelujah. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, by the grace of God, that Word, I want it to dwell in us. I want it to dwell in me. I want it to just fill me up. By the grace of God, I want to nourish that new creation in my life. I want it to grow up into such a pleasing, oh, hallelujah, to Him. Praise God. I don't want to get off on this. But I believe that this is something that will be valid and exciting for us here. Take a moment to do. But let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 4. And it says there, no. Oh, 1 Timothy, not 2nd. Jesse, here we go. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God wants, that's His will, that all men would be saved. Didn't stop there either, did it? It said that they'd come to a knowledge of me, that there would be a continuing growth, that there would be a relationship of freedom that we would have. You think about, and I have to tell you think about the bride of Christ and how so many Christians, they just stop with that being saved. They stop with that. How could God stop with that? You're talking about a bride for His Son. That bride, I know that God would want, wants that bride to know His Son in every way. To be ready, to be prepared, to fit the dress as we said. As the Word of God says, she has made herself ready. Over and over in the Word of God, the helping of the Holy Spirit with those wonderful women in the Old Testament. How they made them beautiful. She put on all the garments and ravished His heart up into half of the kingdom. See, that stuff gets me excited. How could you not see that there was something more that God wants out of you? And how are you going to know the Lord except in the Word of God? How am I going to know the Lord? And if God calls you to do something like this, I hope you, that's fine, go do it. But how could I know God serving soup on a soup line? How am I going to know God just getting out there and just going off and just ministering and missionary if I don't know the truth? It's the truth that builds us up and gives us an inheritance among them that are sanctified. This is where everything is at in our life. And it does, it grieves you to think that people miss that, but I know if they wanted it, God would be faithful to give it to them. Now, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. We touched on this earlier. See, you get Him, you get this new creation, and He works the will in us. So continuing, hallelujah, the wonderful theme of Jesus Christ, the high priest. It's His work. It's all Him, and it's all of grace. Now let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. That's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. It says there that, for it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Now go over to the 4th chapter in the 19th verse. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Do you remember Ephesians 2:10 on Sunday? We are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. Oh, hallelujah. Created in Jesus Christ unto God, unto good works, that we should walk in them. This is the will of God, our good works in our life. This is the effectual working of faith in our life. That's the difference. That's what people don't see. They think a good work is an action. Though I have the faith to move mountains, though I give all my money to the poor, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but if I have not the love of God, it profits me nothing. You see? It's the love of God. It's the love of God. And the love of God takes the wonderful faith because of that believing, and He produces good works in our life. That's what faith does. And how does faith come again? It comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Keep bringing that all back into your life. And you'll see, you'll say, well, Lord, I don't really see the fruit in my life. Well, I'd sit back and say, well, where's the truth in my life? The fruit that you share with the Lord is so intimate. It doesn't have to be just in mounds and like I say, wood, hay, and stubble. It's the precious stone. It's the times when the Lord will just encourage you. You know what? I love you, son. Did the Lord tell you that sometimes? He told me that the other day when I was mighty low. He said, son, I love you. That's fruit. Because that's listening to His voice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 through 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 12. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, oh, this is the setting apart, that ye should abstain from fornication. Uh-oh. Now we're going on with this. Now come on, let's just keep reading the whole Word of God. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, that's sex, basically, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us into uncleanness, but unto holiness. Again, this is a love match. When you truly love one another, that's why I so appreciate it. You know, when you think about the relationship that you have, the husbands and wives out here, the ones that are, that really have a right relationship, you want to do good to one another. You want to please one another. And what I was thinking about was in high school. That's not a thought that I had at all. And young people don't listen to this. But see, it was about games, wasn't it? It was about, well, I'm going to like this one, so this one likes me, and maybe I'll do them a little bit wrong and maybe get this action out of them. And, you know, if she really doesn't like me a lot, maybe even gets that to hate, that could be a feeling that's even more than love, and she might... See how weird we could get? You see what I've been battling all my life? I'm just teasing. Where I'm going with this, isn't it wonderful that you can rest in the relationship that you have? And when you truly love... In the love of God, you want to do good to one another. And this is the good work that the Lord can bring out of our lives when we fall in love with Him. The goodness that has come in my life, I mean the true goodness, is because He's caused me to fall in love with Him. To magnify God, to glorify God. That's what it's about. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So it says, as we go on, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath also given unto us His Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren. This is telling them, you have great love which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase it more and more. This is the will of God, that the love of God would grow more and more and more in our lives. And how is that done again? By the Holy Spirit, who sheds the love of God abroad in your heart. And that's yielding. You gotta sit still for the Holy Spirit to get a hold of you. And it's in this word. It's not being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. It's not getting into things. I appreciated another brother who pointed out again today. The Lord Jesus Christ, He talked about the things that He did. It was teaching, preaching, and healing. So many people get caught up into healing today, and they go away with that. It's a wonderful thing is healing, but it's the teaching. And as the Lord went on in His life, as we saw what the Lord did in His life that He led here, His miracles got less and less because that's all that the people wanted to see. Do you get that? We want to magnify God. And how do we magnify God? Through what we're doing tonight. We are teaching the Word of God. Hallelujah. And that was the paramount thing that Jesus Christ gave to us, was to teach the Word of God. And yes, by the foolishness of preaching as well too, it gets over and goes on. But by the grace of God, I think the Lord has encouraged many in this meeting, and Brother Hill especially. There was preaching, but there was always teaching in that Word. You know, I can preach about a lot of things. You know, you can see these guys preaching prosper and be in health. You can preach about be a good guy, preach about a lot of things. Timothy preached the Word. And when you preach the Word, that's when it teaches you. And you look at those ones that are on TV that have their big healing seminars, that's not magnifying God, is it? I don't have to tell you that. I don't need to judge it. It's just what it is. I can look at it and see what it is. It's magnifying self. Healing has a wonderful place, but it's not paramount. See, I want God to heal me and get me ready to meet Him. That's the healing that I want. That's the healing that He's after. Thank you, Jesus. But this is the complete and effectual working of grace, that we grow up and become like Him. A yielded Christian is that verse we went to many times. It's there in 2 Corinthians 3:18, is the one that is the image of Christ. And His fruit of patience will win him. And in winning Him, we are transformed into the very image of God. And it's by the renewing of my mind that encourages and matures my new creation into the perfect will of God. Let's go on to the 37th verse. It says there, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the Jews' promise is the revelation of the Son of God from heaven, and their restoration of the land of Canaan. Even though you see those Jews right now giving up the Gaza Strip and all that, let me tell you something, it's coming back, baby. It is, because it's the Word of God. Don't get all upset. I talked to a couple Christians. Well, what's going on? This doesn't match the Word of God. Let me tell you something, up until, what was it, 1950, whatever, and excuse me for not knowing it, Israel didn't even exist. It was given all away. What was that? 48, thank you. He's going to restore it all. He's going to restore it all. And it hasn't been all ever since He gave it to them. They've been given it away. It's been taken away. It's been all of this. But that's what this is speaking of, is there's a promise, and that's going to be the revelation of the restoration of the land of Canaan. This verse too is from Habakkuk 2, for yet a little while. And this is referring to the church age that began when Israel rejected Jesus Christ. And it is a little while because it's over. Hallelujah. The Gentile's time is about complete, isn't it? About ready to go? You sense him on the wing? Hallelujah, I do. I believe we know he's coming. And again, don't sleep as do others. Can't you tarry just a little while longer? I mean, really, he's encouraged me. He's having me wax stronger and stronger in a lot of ways. And I tell you what, by the grace of God, if he has me here, you're going to hear that over and over. Can't you tarry just a little while longer? And I hope that pricks your heart. And I hope that sometimes gets in your craw and you say, well, I wish you'd keep saying that maybe. But you know what? By the grace of God, Paul said it day and night for 3 years. Get ready. Get ready. He's on the wing. It's worth it. Don't squander it at the end. He's almost here. He's almost here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that we have this promise from him. A little while. But yes, the bride must be taken out of the way before the King of the Jews, and that's what they're going to say before he comes as the King of the Jews. When they say, where is your God? And I've heard people saying that again lately. Where's your God? When the love of many is waxed cold, when there's a form of godliness everywhere, and it's abundant today. They're coming up with new religions all over the places. There's disease and pestilence without name now. Tokyo, they got a new strain of something and it's killing people right and left. I get excited about that stuff. I don't want to see people dying. But I'd love to see the Word of God because you know what? It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And in a moment, we'll be with Him. Hallelujah. Verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And that is us. Hallelujah. But notice here. But if any man draw back. You notice how even from that 30, what was it? The 32nd verse where it went into the ye. He was talking back to his brothers and sisters again. And brothers and sisters, the just shall live by faith. But notice how it changes again. But if any man draw back. See, I'm not just any man. I'm a sheep and I got a name. I've got a name. You've got a name. He knows us by name. He calls us by name. We're something to him. Hallelujah. We're not any man. That's the ones that have just been enlightened and said, nope, I don't like it. Don't see it. I don't see the good in it. Not for me. I can get there in my own goodness. Remember that man again telling me so vividly, and it just so, I'll tell you, the enemy was so present at that moment when he said that, and I thought, don't tempt God in front of me. I'd hate to see what could happen to you right in front of me. But he said, oh, I want to see him blow that candle out. He was an altar boy, and he just said, oh, Lord, if you'll blow that candle out, I'll believe in you. I'll tell you what, man, he's blowing it all over the place in this Word of God, and if you don't see it there, I can't help you. And don't you tempt him. Don't you tempt him. See, that insults me. That's the time I get angry. I have to tell you. Because they're trodden underfoot my precious Jesus. But you know what? Vengeance is his. And he's going to take care of him. And I just leave him alone. And I still pray for that man, but it did hurt me. But it's not by works. It's not by confession. It's not by merit. It's not by accountability. But it is by faith. Paul three times quotes this. And it's how precious when we see this paramount truth in our life, that it truly is by faith. It's merely believing and it'll take us all the way. That faith, which is the work of God in His undying love, is our reward to everything. Our victory in the darkest hour. And faith, by the grace of God, the wonderful thing about faith, and I just love it, it's immediate. It is so immediate, isn't it? Such a wonderful calm in the storm. And it's peace. And that name is Jesus. That's where our faith is. It's Jesus. Call out that name. Things start coming out of your mouth that shouldn't be coming out of your mouth. Call out the name of Jesus. Your life out of whack. You got problems in your family. Your kids just living to the tune of the devil's flute. Call out the name of Jesus. That's faith. Don't go calling the doctors. Don't go calling this and calling that. Call out to Him first. Call out to Him. Listen to Him. If He guides you certain ways, that's wonderful. Jesus is where our faith is. And hallelujah, nothing can stop it when we're in it, can it? It's so powerful. It's so powerful. As you sit there and you say, Lord, thank you for that faith that you've given me. Thank you that you keep me in this. Brother Copley said, by grace through faith I believed. He said, by grace through faith I now live. And by grace through faith I will be translated. And I love this verse too, and closing it up here. God has a soul. Do you see that it says? Right there. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. He made us in His own image. We talked about this Sunday. The most precious creation is us. Because we have that free will. He gave us a soul like unto His own. And there's nothing more that pleases Him than when we in free will worship His Son. That pleases God. This is worshiping His Son. This is part of our complete worship. What more could we be wanting in our life than to please God? And this is what that is about. But again, that 39th chapter. And know this for yourself. But we are not of them who draw back unto that perdition, to that damnation. Even if you wanted to. And I've met some people that said, well, I used to be a Christian and I don't believe it no more. Well, if you ever were a Christian, you couldn't do it anyways. Not that you wouldn't do it. I've heard people say, well, if they were a Christian, they wouldn't have done that. They never got saved. No, that's not true. Devil can dupe you in a mighty, mighty way, folks. And there's a lot of people that are saved out there that refuse it, that think that they're not, that are living the lie like we talked about on Sunday. I'll tell you what, you can live just like, not just the children of wrath. You can live just like Beelzebub himself if you want to. He'll lead you around on that chain. He'll cause you to do flips and backflips and cartwheels and all those things if you want Him to. He'll get you even to say that you don't believe in Christ. But you know what? You can't draw back unto perdition. And thank God we're not of those people. Thank God we're not of those people. And someday, we're going to see Him at that moment when we believe to the saving of the soul. He's going to meet us face to face. And we know that it's going to be worth it all. Amen. Let's pray. Thank You again, Lord, for these words. We thank You again for this study. We thank You again that You're here. And Lord, by the grace of God, we just ask that these words just work effectually in us. It's been a peaceful time tonight. It's been a peaceful time of feeding, Lord Jesus. And again, I just can't imagine, Lord, again, why us? And it'll just take the ages to tell us, Lord God, but thank You for drawing us here tonight. We thank You that we're able to magnify You and again increase our faith as Abraham's faith was increased because he gave glory to God, and help us in our life to give the glory to God. In Jesus' name, amen.